Your speaker in this lesson is Garland Robinson.
When we think about activities in which we live every day, and especially those of us that drive on the highway, we're quite attuned to barricades, a barrier there. Well, in a spiritual sense, there are some barricades in regard to going to heaven. Now, God is not the one that placed the barricades there. He's not trying to keep people out of heaven. But in this case, the object is we place our own barricade there. Because we just read here in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 27, that there shall enter into it no thing that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie shall not be able to go to heaven. So it's incumbent upon us to know what some of those things are. One is pride. I don't know how many of you are filled with pride, but pride is one of the greatest sins known to mankind. We have an indication of it over there in 1 Timothy chapter 3 among the qualifications of those who would be elders. One is that he cannot be a novice, meaning that he cannot be a new Christian, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. It appears that the devil was filled with pride. That was his great problem, and thought that he could overcome God, thought that he could be equal with God, thought that he would be able to supersede God. And because as a result of that, he was thrown out and God condemned him because of it. But how many people likewise end up with pride in their life? We're talking about that kind of pride the Bible would describe as that plain, old, stubborn, selfish, bullheaded, unyielding, devilish pride. Pride is going to be the downfall of so many people because they think that they have arrived. They think that they're it, and they're just puffed up and they're full of pride, and you're not going to get to go to heaven if that is your case. We read in the Old Testament book of Proverbs chapter 29 and 23, where the Bible says, a man's pride shall bring him low. Those who think of themselves as somewhat, those who think of themselves as above somebody else, I mean, they're just full of pride, then the Bible here says, you will be brought low. In Psalm 10 and verse 4, we read, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek God. Isn't that interesting? One who has pride in their life, he says, will not seek God. And then it says this, that God is not in all of his thoughts. Because pride is contrary to God. Pride is in opposition to God. Pride says, I don't need God. I can do this myself. I'm all right. I know what I'm doing. I can do this. And I don't need God. Don't need God's help. That's pride. And here this psalmist says pride keeps a person from ever turning to God. Ever thinking about God. God, it says here, is not in all of his thoughts. In the New Testament, we read in James chapter 4 in verse 6, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. In order to be able to obey God, to be forgiven of our sins, the Bible says we have to humble ourselves. That's the opposite of pride. Pride is puffed up. I don't need anybody's help. But humble is the opposite of it. The Bible speaks about those with a broken heart, a contrite spirit, one that recognizes I can't handle everything by myself. Matter of fact, we read in the Old Testament book also of Proverbs 14 and verse 12. Here the scripture says that there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. When man says, I think I've got it figured out. I think I can do this. I think I can handle this. And I'm doing my own thing. And I don't need anybody's help. Well, that is the individual that is failing in God's sight. If we're going to be a child of God, and that's the only way we can go to heaven, we've got to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And the Bible says He then will lift us up. So many times throughout the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament combined, it condemns pride and exonerates the humble. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus talked about the parable of the chief seats, and an individual that makes a great feast and bids his friends and others to come. And he speaks about those, how he looked and watched, how when they come in, they sought out the best seats or the chief seats. They wanted to sit in the most prominent place, the most prestigious place. But he says, the master of the house comes in and said, oh, would you give up your seat? And you go down to the end of the line and sit down there. And talked about how embarrassing that would be. What a shame and reproach that would be. And how much greater it would be to sit in the lowest seats. And then when the master of the house comes in, to bring you up to the position of the most honorable place. Well, God is like that. And when we are filled with pride and we're puffed up and we've got things figured out, then we're not going to be able to be pleasing to God, and we can't go to heaven. And so we read in the book of Obadiah in verse 3 and 4, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the cleft of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Thou that exalteth thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. In the region where the country of Edom was, it was a mountainous area, a rocky area, and their chief city had been built upon a high cliff, around which were tall cliffs. And the way into that was very, very difficult. So they lived up high on a mountain. And it was well protected and well guarded. And as a result of that, historically, they thought that we are safe. The enemy can't touch us. We've got it all figured out. We can take care of ourselves. We don't need anybody or anything. And God says, you watch out. Matter of fact, the Scriptures uses that great principle that any man that thinks he standeth, take heed lest he fall. And so God sent Obadiah to the kingdom of Edom in writing this book, telling them, though you think you're up in the cleft of the rock, though you think you can soar among the eagles, though you think you don't need anything, God's going to destroy you and bring you low. And he did. They were conquered later by the Assyrians. What a terrible, terrible plight it was that it was upon them. But why? It's because of their pride. They were lifted up high and holy. And people today that's going to hold on to their pride, and they're going to ride it all the way to the judgment day when they're going to hear the Lord say, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. We've got to get rid of pride and humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might be able to lift us up. In Isaiah chapter 2, we read in verse 12, for the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon every one that is proud and lofty, and upon every one that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. In Proverbs 11 and verse 2, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. Then in Matthew 23 and verse 12, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. And so there's points of Scripture throughout the Bible, Old and New Testament alike. Pride is a barrier to heaven. And those who are proud will not be able to go to heaven because it's going to bar the entrance into heaven. There's a barricade. You can get through it as long as you hold on to pride. Another thing that's a barrier to heaven, that we read about in the New Testament, if you will, turn in the Gospel of John in chapter 12, and it's this. It's individuals who love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Individuals who do not care to look to God and to seek His guidance and His direction and His approval, but instead they thrive upon things of this world that men may pour accolades upon them. That is a barrier to heaven. Here in John chapter 12, notice we read beginning in verse 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. You can imagine now when those people died. Here's people of the first century who actually saw Jesus. They heard him speak. They saw the miracles he performed. They were eyewitnesses of it. And secretly, they believed him. They believed on him. But then they turned and looked around and began to reason within themselves. Well, now, if I obey him, if I become a follower of him, then I'm going to lose favor with friends, those who are of notoriety or power, those in the community, and I'm going to lose my position. I won't be able to continue doing what I've been doing. And so they weighed the two. Whether do I follow Christ or do I follow man? And they decided, I'll follow man. Because they love the praise of man more than they love the praise of God. And you know, when those people died, in this very moment in eternity, what they're thinking, what they would do to have the opportunity to go back and change it, to do it over again. Their thinking and their life in this world was nothing compared to what they're going through now. Well, that is a barrier. We've got to have a devotion that says, I'm going to go to heaven. And whatever it takes for me to get there, then that's what I'm going to do. Because that's the good way, that's the right way, the frame of mind, the attitude, the disposition of life is all correct and right in accordance with God's will. And it really shouldn't matter what men think, because men are not our judge. God is the judge. And it's Him whom we must seek to please and let other things go. In John the 7th chapter, verse 13, howbeit the Bible says, no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. Even Nicodemus, the Bible records in John 3, came to Jesus by night. Now, we're not told exactly why he came by night, but it could be that he was a secret follower of the Lord and didn't want it to be known publicly and came to him by night. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say, but there, according to this verse, John 7, verse 3, there are and were those who were secret followers of the Lord, but they didn't speak about him openly because they feared the people. They feared the Jews. They wanted to have favor with man. You know, how many people have an ego problem? Because, you know, they, in this matter of pride and this matter of the praise of men, that comes into play with a lot of people. We've got to be a people that the Scriptures speak about in John 6 and verse 1 and 2. When the Scripture says, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do, in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. I say unto you, they have their reward. So we're not to be like those kind of people. Don't do things that we do in order to be seen of men, in order to have the praise of men, in order that someone would speak well of us. But we need to focus upon serving God, doing His will. He's the one we seek to please, and it matters eternally what God's will is in respect to me. What I am to do and how I am to live, if we don't have God's approval, then I'm not going to go to heaven. And you're not going to go to heaven. So we've got to make sure that we have the praise of God and not the praise of man. Matter of fact, the attitude of a Christian, a child of God, we read in Galatians 6 and verse 10, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." That's what we do. We do what's good for all men. The Bible tells us to love everyone, to love the brotherhood, love those who are children of God. Matter of fact, love those who are not children of God. We love humanity, but yet our focus and goal is upon the approval of God, not the approval of man. If men approve of us, then more than likely, then God is not going to approve of us. But we've got to focus upon God in heaven, making sure that we are right in His sight. Because loving the praise of men is not going to get us to heaven. That's going to be a barricade. It's going to keep us out of heaven, because we must be willing to do God's will. A third thing we'll mention, a barrier to heaven, is worldliness. It is a very difficult thing to live in the world and not become a part of the world. It's easy to just live a worldly life, because all of us, every single one of us, loves life, don't we? We love life. We enjoy stuff and we enjoy things because we're human. That's natural. And so it's an easy thing to do, to love the world. But the Scripture says the world, our love of the world and the things in the world, is a barrier to heaven. In 1 John chapter 2, we read verse 15 and 16. The Bible says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." He goes on to tell us in verse 17 that this old world is going to cease one day. It's going to stop. And it'll all be burned up. But if we place all of our affections and our life and our thinking on things of the world, then that means we are not putting them toward God. So though we live here, and we can't change that part, and we do enjoy the wonders of creation, but the things of the world we cannot adore in the sense that we neglect our service to God. Heaven ought to be our home. Right now, as we live in this world, we're on vacation. But our real focus, our real home, our real place that we long to be, ought to be heaven. The Bible speaks about in the book of Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 that our citizenship is in heaven. That's where home is. And when we fall in love with the world and the things of the world, then we're worldly minded. And that is a barrier to heaven. We can't go to heaven if we're worldly minded. So while we enjoy it on the one hand, let us not fall in love with it, because when we do, then we're putting ourselves in great jeopardy, because we are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. We're the only people on the face of this earth that can show the true riches of heaven, that can show what being a Christian is all about, and being faithful to God, showing our genuine and true home is not here, what is in heaven. And we've got to live like it. And when we set down roots here and never want to leave here and become so engrossed and involved with here, then we're not pleasing God. That is a barrier to heaven. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, we read, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men." And there it teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. What does he tell us to do? Deny ungodly or unworldly or worldly lust, but live soberly, righteously, and godly. Because worldliness is a barrier to heaven. In Luke 1 and verse 6, we read about Zechariah and Elizabeth, the parents of John, who would later become known as John the Baptist. The Bible says, "And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of God, blameless." If that could be said of Zechariah and Elizabeth, could it not be and should it not be said of us? As Christians, as children of God, when God looks down, if He were writing another Bible, giving us more Scripture, could it be said and put your name in that blank that we're walking in righteousness, we're walking in the ordinance of God, that God is well pleased with us? If Zechariah and Elizabeth had been worldly people, worldly-minded people, then that would not have been said of them. So we can live in the world, but not become a part of the world. We all have to live here. We can't change that. But it's our mindset. Our goal is not upon things that is earthly, but things that are heavenly. You remember again the passage in Colossians chapter 3? "Set your mind on things above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, not on things of the earth," things of the world. But now, that's easier said than done, isn't it? As we all well know, we're all human. We all are of the flesh. We all have desires. You know, that's common. So the natural thing is to fall in love with the world. Fall in love with everything about the world. But it's different when we set our mind and affection on things above, not on things of the world. This world is temporary. It's not going to last. And when we live like it is, and we give ourselves to every lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes and the pride of life, then we are setting up that barricade and we're not going to be able to get to heaven. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, "Brethren, we are beseeched," or God begs us by His very mercies, "that we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So how many of these passages tell us, don't fall in love with the world. Don't be worldly. Don't be worldly minded. But focus on things that are eternal, things that are above. If we don't do that, then that's going to be a barricade that'll keep us out of heaven. The last thing we'll mention, that it's a barrier to heaven when we do not recognize God's authority. The Bible tells us that God is supreme, that His word that He has given is written for our learning, that we can read and study and rightly divide it to know what His will is and to be different than the world. And to say, I'm going to set my affection on things that is spiritual, not things that are earthly. It's discouraging. There was a book came out just here recently. It's been somewhat in the news. That was supposed to be somewhat of a spiritual book, but yet denied the very authority of God and did not recognize the Bible as the standard of all human beings. That is the perfect will of God. And that's discouraging when people will not recognize and believe the Bible is God's Word. That's the book from which we will be judged one day. In John, the 12th chapter, verse 48, the Lord said, "The word that I've spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." If this is the book from which we'll all be judged and we'll all be divided on the right hand and on the left, and it's all coming out of right here, isn't this so then we've got to spend our whole lifetime learning this? What is it that God requires of me? How am I to live? What is to be my attitude or disposition of life? How do I please God? That's all right here. Everything that we need is right here. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, God has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. We've got to spend our life knowing this book and living this book, recognizing the authority of God, the authority of His precious Word, because it is absolute. But we're living in a generation, a time right now, not only in America, but around the world, that says there is no absolute. That truth, absolute truth, does not exist. Whatever you believe it to be, that's what you believe. Whatever somebody else believes it to be, that's what. And that there is no absolute standard. That's a barrier to heaven. That's going to keep people out of heaven. Because if there is no standard, if there is no absolute truth in the Scriptures, then every man's a law to himself. Who's to say who's right and who's wrong? Everybody's right, nobody's wrong, or whatever. The Bible is right. And when we don't recognize the authority of the Scriptures and live by the Scriptures, then that's a barrier to heaven. It's going to keep us out of heaven. Well, how do we tear down all these barriers? It's by going to the book. And the only things we've mentioned today, the pride of life, the pride of men, and loving the praise of men more than the praise of God, all of these things are barriers. How do we get around those barriers? We get around them by destroying them. They are obstacles that are in the way, impeding our path in going to heaven. And how do we do that? By the Word, by the Scriptures. So this is the standard. This is the book. And if we don't honor it as such, and learn it as such, and live it as such, then that itself is a barrier. But this is able to destroy all the barriers, all the obstacles in us getting to heaven, if we'll believe it, and if we'll live it. If you're not a Christian, a child of God, there are barriers. Your sin is a barrier that keeps you out of heaven. And the only way to destroy that sin, have forgiveness of that sin, is to obey the gospel. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He shed His blood on Calvary's cross and died for the sins of all of mankind. Repenting of all of your sins, confessing faith in Christ, being baptized for the forgiveness of sins. That destroys all the barriers, but then it becomes our own selves that puts up these barricades all along the way because we want to be worldly. We want to be lifted up with pride. We want to have the praise of men. We don't respect the Scriptures, the Bible. Those are all obstacles, barricades that will keep us out of heaven. We've got to obey the gospel, and all those barricades are removed. We have the freedom in Christ to live as He's given us to live, a beautiful life, a clean life, a moral life, and we'll be able to hear Him say one day, "Well done, good and faithful servant." If you've strayed away, you can come back and remove that barricade of unfaithfulness by repenting, confessing, and praying that you might be forgiven.
Your speaker has been Garland Robinson.